Hello, welcome to the Heal Out Loud podcast. Today we have Felicia Renee. How are you, Felicia? Welcome. Thank you for being here. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Janine. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for welcoming me onto your podcast. I am amazing. I get better every single day. And as far as a little bit of background for me, I'm an author and I met your husband. I had the pleasure of meeting your husband and then coming in contact with you at a seminar. And I'm an author of Girl, If You Were a Man. It's a no BS guide for women who lead with strength. I've been in the corporate environment for the past 25 years going on. Oh, that seems like just that's a lifetime. And I've gone through a lot of great experiences, but I've also had a lot of trials and tribulations. And in my most recent career, I had gone through a pretty rough patch. It was a great experience, but there was also some patches in there that it was just kind of off in a way, I would say. And the most impactful way that I could help people was to bring my story to the forefront and help other people identify with me as well as grow within the process, because everything in life is a learning experience and you can, let it define you in a negative aspect, or you can let it define you in a positive aspect. And I choose to let it define me and other people that surround me in a positive aspect so that we can all grow together. A little bit more about me is I'm an Arizona native. I have grown up in Arizona my entire life, and I am a copper miner's daughter. I come from a very, very small town. I grew up there. I had my first son there, and then I grew. I knew I wanted more things in life, and I decided that I wanted to jump into a bigger part of life itself. And so I moved into a smaller, kind of like rural city, not too big, because you can't just, I mean, you can, but for me, it was, just safe steps in order to get my son and I into a better place, which landed us into where we live now, which is in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have loved every single part of the growth aspect in my life. I have three boys now. They are 26, 17, and 14. They are my whole world, my whole life. I'm actually going to be going boogie boarding right now with my 14-year-old because that's what he loves to do. And we're going to, just keep this summer going before he's a freshman in high school. And we're loving life right now. Not that we haven't before, but even so more now because I've ran into a lot of great people in my life, your husband being one of them, you being another one, and you just never know what's around the corner for people that you're going to meet. So that's me in a nutshell, as far as who I am and a little bit about myself.
Thank you. I love that. You said so much great stuff. Being from Arizona, I spent a little time in Arizona about 3 years ago. I moved to Arizona for 8 months, and I love the energy in Arizona. I was in a small little town called Cottonwood,
Oh,
and I
yes.
was working in Sedona. But being like an Arizona native, and you're still in Arizona, just more in the city area. And then, like you've doing a lot of traveling and everything, how would you say like have that influenced your journey, if at all, of just the healing process and your intuition and everything?
Right. So Arizona, I love Arizona because it has so many different variations to offer. If you're not from Arizona, most people think that it's just cactuses and hot desert, and it really isn't. There are, portions of that in Arizona that you can get. Growing up in Arizona, it gave me just a small portion of what the world looked like growing up in a small town. However, my dad raised me to be a survivor. And so he taught me how to fish, how to hunt, how to camp, just the basic necessities of living life. And north of me, about a couple of hours north of me, is the White Mountains, which is in my my opinion, God's country. It is full of forestry, lakes, open skies, beautiful weather, and just nature all around you. And that's just that for me is connection, and that's what brings me back to my roots. And as you circle around Arizona, especially going into Cottonwood, and Cottonwood is it's a lot different from Sedona, as you saw. Sedona is open, wide range mountains, not that many trees that are around you. But when you're in Cottonwood, you feel like you're in, a whole different area of, I would say, maybe like California, because it's of its greenery and the water that it has, surrounding it. And so that's what I love about Arizona, is that it has a lot of variations, and just any corner or any city is going to surprise you and bring you that kind of growth. And so that's what's helped me develop in my life, is going out and exploring, and not just being anchored to my small town and being afraid to grow and see what was around that corner, because everything is just much more of a surprise that can bring you to the next level within your life. So that's how I relate everything that Arizona has to offer to how my life has expanded and to where I am today.
I love that. When I think about just anywhere that you're from in the roots and being grounded, as you said, and like as I'm discovering my ability to understand energy, right? And it's like this ever-evolving vessel. But what I came to understand and realize was like the word grounded and what it means for me at each moment. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it like that, like, being grounded into the moment, because a lot of times we're not present. We're like either thinking about where we're going or where we have been. But one of the things that I like the most about, my time in Arizona is I spent a lot of time being in the moment and being present on purpose. But as you said, each part has such a beautiful energy to it. And I'm mentioning this because being from there, I'm sure you probably experienced it in a way that maybe you can say it a little different or explain it from your point of view. But like I love doing hiking and trails, and like of course Sedona has the vortexes and all of those different things, but there's so many, like every part of Arizona that I went to, they have like these famous trails and the waterfalls, oh my gosh, and the rivers. And I mean, to me, all of Arizona that I've heard of and got to experience has truly been magical, just in an intuitive way, because you hear these things and you see these videos on social media about the trees coming to you and talking to you. But I can honestly say every day that I hiked there, it was like a healing, and like it intentionally sometimes, but very unintentionally, just the downloads that I would get while I was doing the hiking and the trails. And like it was so much magic and miracles happening every day. And I mean, it's happening for us every day, regardless. But what I realize is the more present you are with your thoughts, you get to really feel that magic. And like, I wanted to know what is your take on that? And then, especially because you're in different places and spaces, and can you feel the difference in like you being grounded in Arizona or home opposed to being grounded in different spaces? And not that it's good or bad, but just the difference in the frequency around you.
And those are all variations and great, points to bring out, with what being in the moment and being grounded and appreciating what's around you. And regardless whether you're in Arizona or North Carolina or here, I'm literally right in front of the beach, and having that white noise of the ocean, like that's a whole different, that's different for me. I'm not used to that. I'm used to, a river and trickling water, and that it's a different sound. And so therefore it brings a different type of energy. The ocean for me right now in the present brings that power, because of just how, when you look at the waves and how they're able to just form in different In different variations, and how they crunch and they crash, and how long they last when they get up, onto the shore. The ocean is power for me. I feel like very powerful being in front of it because of just its mass and its presence and everything that's all underneath that you don't know that's underneath there. We're just seeing the surface level of all things, and that's one of the great things about my book, for instance, is that you're only seeing the surface level and you're not seeing what's truly harnessed inside of you that's just waiting to be brought out. And when I'm in North Carolina, North Carolina is lush and beautiful, and there's so many different variations to North Carolina. I've never been an East Coast person until I started going to North Carolina, and the more that I go back there, the more I just love it and I fall in love with it all of the time. It has something different. It brings me a lot of ladybugs, and that's for me, that's very spiritual for me. That's a different conversation. I actually have a ladybug tattoo that's on my finger there. But ladybugs show me the path along my way. And speaking of that, I found a ladybug on the stairs as I was walking up to this place when we had arrived last Sunday. And so those variations let me know that I'm just in the right place in the moment and in time. And in Arizona as well, there is in the Grand Canyon, a lot of people go to the Grand Canyon. It's a massive, massive entity to see. And it was forged by water. But the water that you don't see is actually like a blue green, clear turquoise type water. And if you look up Havasu Pie Falls, it is an amazing hike. It is. You feel like you're in Hawaii, being in that, corner of the Grand Canyon, and you're just in another portion or another vortex and element. You just can't believe of where you're at, that you're actually in something like Arizona for that to be present. But every single experience grounds you in a way where you're appreciative of that moment, because I agree, it's so easy to get lost in your thoughts and to not, truly appreciate what it is that's around you. But if you kind of just take a moment to just sit there and relax and look at everything, trees really do speak to you. The wind speaks to you, the leaves that are, or the grass or the sand that's underneath your feet, is speaking to you. It's just in a different sense of how we normally communicate, which is, audibly and listening to it that way. So I wholeheartedly appreciate that you bring that, to the forefront, and having our sensories just in tune so that we can ground ourselves and remember just who we are and how magnificent this world truly is.
Yes. Oh my gosh. All of that was just so beautiful. And, I was thinking also when you were talking about the Havasu Falls, I was just thinking like this portal that just pulls you and cleans you. I can almost feel the energy there. I've never been there, but I could just feel the energy there as you were speaking of it. And, with crystals, because I absolutely love crystals.
Oh,
How
yes.
we can call the energy of a crystal, even if we don't have that crystal with us, And you mentioned your book. I want to talk about your intention for writing the book. You kind of went into it a little bit, but like what prompted, like, this has to be a book that I need to do, and how long did you think about it before you written it? And then, like, what was just that thing, like, no, this has to happen?
Yeah, great questions. And for me, I think we always have something inside of us that's that burning desire. We just don't harness it to its truest potential. And the opportunity had been present to me when I was attending a seminar, and it was, hey, why don't you write a book? And for ordinary people like myself, coming from a small town and then expanding in the corporate environment, you don't know a lot of publishers. I mean, you can look online and probably find some, but people gravitate more of that know, like, and trust factor. And so I had a coach who was presenting his offer of, hey, let's write this book. Let's get your story out there. And at that time, it made sense because I had been making decisions and clearing the path so that I could be my true potential self, escaping from the corporate environment and being more impactful worldwide, globally. And this book specifically, I wrote because being a woman, we are just incredible human beings. We are incredible creatures. We have so much potential inside of us, and we do great things. I've had sons, I've created humans, and that for me is like I've hit the, the greatest level in life is to be able to have created a human, and everything there just kind of just is like downhill for me.
Like it
And
opens
so,
up.
yeah, women are incredible. We're expanding just like the universe, and we don't need to apologize for who we are and what we do and what we represent. Although I found being in the corporate environment, that is actually the opposite, where women aren't as appreciated of being in leadership roles as you would think this day and age. And it was quite a battle to be in the positions that I had been in. And trust me, I am a hard worker. I am non-traditional talent. I did not go to a university to get a degree to show that, to showcase that I had the experience to operate at any level. I work through the ground up, which means that I start at the very entry level of the career that I'm choosing at the time. And this, within the past 25 years, happened to be operations. And it's very limited to the amount of women that are there. For me, I could count the room. It would be 1 in 6 or 1 in 10, meaning that I was the only woman versus 6 males and or 10 males that were in there. And I wanted to write this book because I bring a different kind of energy, which is a masculine energy. And I think that comes from my upbringing because I was raised to survive. My dad and I had 3 brothers that I kind of just chased around. You could call me back then, I guess I used to call it a tomboy. And so now if that's just related into having masculine energy, and I have 3 sons myself, I'm not intimidated by men. I'm not intimidated by women. I'm not intimidated, altogether because we're all humans and we're here, to have the experience of just a wonderful, great life. So why can't we just all do that? And unfortunately, you do see that. Not everybody wants that. And some people don't like who you are, the way you look, the way you sound, the way you carry yourself. And I don't know why. I don't have those answers. All I know is that I have had the ability to overcome a lot of hard situations. And when I was in my corporate environment, I flourished both men and women that were around me. And when I would speak predominantly to women, they would say, we're not like you. We don't have that tough skin. We don't have that strong mindset to not let things break us. And it was kind of just taking a step back and asking why. Well, how come? Why aren't all we just harnessing our true selves and stepping into our power? And so that's what motivated me to write this book, was to help both women and men surrounding know what it's like just to cultivate and get past that imposter syndrome and step into the best version of yourself. And although this book may seem like it's appealing more to women because it's called Girl If You Were a Man, it's not. It's for both men and women specifically. If you want to grow in your career and you just don't know the steps or have a mentor or a sponsor around you to do that, this is what this book is for. And I also follow that up with a coaching program because it's one thing to read a book, but it's also another thing to have somebody who's guiding you along the way. So that's really the aspirations of why I decided that it was here and now to write this book for all the girls that are going to come after me, and for the women who are already in those scenarios that can help them be a better version of themselves, and for men to be that affiliate, those affiliates for us, because some of my best people that I have surrounded myself with are males. Again, my dad, my brothers, my boys, my fiance, all that masculine energy around. So it's not to deter anybody from, going one way or another for a gender. It's really just harnessing those people that will defend you in a room that you're not in.
I love that. And I love the way you just kind of close that off. It's not something that's just for women, it's for anyone in this predicament. And then to even say, like, I love male energy, and it's very, powerful to know the difference in, an energy that's right and good and supportive, and then one that is not, because it's not about the male, it's about the person and the choices that they make. And I think that's important to understand, because when we're throwing labels out there just to say, people can interpret things the way, and they're going to do that regardless, but the thing about it is to be very clear, and I love how clear you are with that. Like, some of them, because even me growing up, most of my best friends were males. I've had very small amount of female best friends, or even friends in general. Now that I'm older, it's probably the opposite, but growing up, it was definitely that way. My brother and I were very much closer than my sister. She was older than us, but and even still now we're closer, just because we have more in common. So it's like, sometimes it's not that you can't get along, and I think it's great for you to express that, because sometimes when you write a book, and even before people read it, just by the title, they want to put you in a box and things like that. And I say, don't judge a book by its cover. So it's like, oh, this is a male bashing book. And it's like, no, I love men. I have three boys, and all of these different things. So it's really beautiful that you expressed that. Yeah, I love the way you said that. It's great.
Yeah, and like I said, the book title is actually coming from a conversation that I had with a female human resource representative. And so you'll be quite surprised to learn how, that conversation, was the inspiration for the name of this book. And when you're writing a book, you have so much thing you at first you think that you don't have anything to say, and then once you start writing it, every you have so much to say, and to be able to fit it into 30,000 words or
Mm-hmm.
200 and some odd pages, you don't feel like you're doing yourself the due diligence of telling everything at once, or maybe you put too much in here and you didn't put enough in here. So it's really like a recipe, and making sure that you're getting the substance and the seasonings right so that you have something presentable and delicious to serve up to, to those around you. And that's what I really wanted this book to be, was something that people can digest and to be able to be okay and to know that you're not alone. You're not alone in this process. And a lot of the times we ourselves put ourselves in this box, like, because that we're not talking about it, or maybe we don't showcase it, that it's not happening to anybody else. And it really is. What I love about this book is women who are a lot older than me, my dad's age, that are in their 60s and their 70s, relate to this book. And I didn't expect that. I really, really didn't. I thought, with the era in which they had grown up in, which was fighting for women's rights and, being able to have their own identity, even something as basic as what we take for granted as like a checking account or a credit card, those types of things that are just so, apparent to us and given so freely. And they ask the question, is this really still happening in this day and age? And the answer is yes. And so when they read my book, they're like, wow, I wish I had this 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when I, was in my transition into wanting to level up and grow within the company and all of the things that, I was up against. And it makes me so proud that I'm able to impact people on different levels within their life and to be able to resonate. Because the one thing that I do hear is, I felt like you wrote this book for me. And I love how it's just all relative.
Doesn't that make you feel good to hear
It
and
does.
know that, wow, okay, I'm making the difference that I set out to make. My question for you is, when you wrote the book, and I love how you explained, like, I thought I had nothing to say, and then I realized, oh, I have a lot to say. And where is that? I like to call that compartmentalizing emotions and feelings and thoughts, and because we can compartmentalize so much of our everyday life that it becomes a coping mechanism to do those things. So, can you speak to like the unveiling of everything that you have packed in for so many years as you wrote the book, and maybe even the healing process and the intuitive enlightenments that happened during that process?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. My pleasure. Whew, writing the book, it was therapeutical for me. You have so much to say, and then at the same time, you are wondering if that perfection paralysis is coming into play of, am I saying too much? Am I saying too little? What is just right? I had been in the corporate environment for 25 years, and I was blessed to have a female mentor at the early, when I was just beginning my career, who had laid the forefront of what can I expect in being in a corporate environment and being a woman. And that was 25 years ago. And so as I progressed and years went on and on and on, it was almost as if like the same scenario, different people kept revealing itself over and over and over again. And when you've reached that aspect in your career where you are just now this well-oiled machine, you want to be able to flourish the people around you and help them understand and grow them. Because, growth for yourself only comes so far. You have to be able to harness sponsors and mentors, to help you see outside. And of course, for you to be able to impact people positively. And so when I was writing the book, it brought me all of the emotions that you could feel, happiness and sadness and anger and euphoric, just at the end of it, that is the best word that I can describe it. It was euphoric to finally have it all laid out and in a book cover. And now, here's the final product. But in between the pages was a lot of heartache and tears and just remembering and happiness because you remember the people who had brought you to your best self in those versions, who defended you in rooms that you were not in. And then you also remember the individuals who tried to make you somebody that you were not and you thought were allies and mentors, and they didn't turn out to be that way. And at some point in time in my book, I made sure that there was one thing that I wanted to say before we even dove into the chapters of the book, was to ensure that you are being aware of your mental health and that you are recognizing the signs that are around you. Because with a woman with masculine energy and holding such a high standard, you don't want people to know that things are happening, inside of you on the outside. So you carry yourself and you just let, you just compartmentalize a lot of that stuff and you keep going and you keep going and you keep going. That doesn't always work because there is a tipping point in which those emotions will come out, and recognizing your mental health and where you're at is crucial in ensuring that you stay grounded and that you can enjoy the moments that are around you. Because one of the biggest factors of recognizing mental health is that the things that you used to love, no, you don't find that love anymore. And you kind of just compartmentalize everything inside of you that you can't recognize how powerful the ocean is, how the vortex is bringing all of this great energy inside of you because you just have so much that has just simmered and is now at a boiling point and a tipping point. So the book, again, it was just so many things to come, every emotion that you could possibly feel, it is right here in this book. And although it cannot cry or it can't, anger or, it doesn't have emotions, I really hope that someone can feel everything that I was putting into the substance of the book, and knowing that at the end of the book, it's that euphoric stage for them as well to be like, I'm not alone, and I'm gonna go and I'm gonna do whatever it takes and be the best version of myself that I can, because I have that permission, just as you give permission in your podcast for people to express their journey.
I love that. And in the healing process, we have like all of the elements. And the importance of what you're saying is just like I'm over here, my soul is smiling because, thinking of how important it is to feel each element. And in the healing process, you go through each emotion, and the one that is the most resistance is grief. But we don't realize how important it is to grieve.
Right.
And it's like you can't skip any of those emotions. And that's the one where we normally tuck under and then have to start the process all over again. It's like, why am I in this vicious cycle? Because when it comes to grieving, instead of grieving, we try to make ourselves happy. We try to jump back here or, jump somewhere in between that feels more comfortable, or feels more tolerable. And I think that's important to understand, just as you expressed, I feel every emotion very intensely, but you made it through the other side and you birthed this beautiful book as kind of like what I'm hearing is a guide to how to move through the healing process with ease and with grace, and it's like not easy, but ease and grace, because it is a process and it's like it's not meant to be easy. And I
Right.
love the saying that, pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. And
Yes.
sometimes we run from the pain and wind up suffering, And so it's just really amazing how, we're coming to bring all of this to the light. And that just, if you have anything to add to that. And then my next question was just to ask you, like, what role did your intuition play in just moving through this, and how did it help you through it?
Yeah. And that great points and great questions. The intuition aspect of it was to not be bitter about the process, to not have, although there was anger that, came to the surface of the things of, of what you can and can't control. It was, how can I be the best version of myself? And I didn't want to be petty by any means, and I didn't want it to be, just a book where it was like bringing all the nitty and gritty that could have happened, because there's so much more that I could have put into that book. However,
But wait, there's more.
yeah, yes, but
That's the
wait, there's
title to the
more.
next one.
There was, and when I think about compartmentalizing, being able to have that transition stage and taking a step back and really looking at the scenarios in which, they are a choice, and it was a choice, for me to be able to conform or transform. And I chose the latter of that, which is to write a book and have it create an impactfulness globally, worldwide, and even if it just changed one person's life, including myself, then that's all I really needed as the reward to writing this book. It brought so much joy. And the intuition was to how are you going to be able to be a positive force to be reckoned with? Because the saying is, you're a force to be reckoned with. And that is open to context, And for me, I like to put the positive aspect in front of it, be a positive force to be reckoned with, because that already sets the stage of what it is that you're going to be putting forth and setting that mindset of how you're going to be impactful to what you're going to put down on paper so that people take it as a tool that they can now run with rather than something that brings them back into a state of mind or into an emotion that keeps them there. We want to be the successors of our environments and not victims of it, because once you start to run away from that pain, all you're doing is suppressing from it, but you're not really growing from it. And we could create some negative habits that keep us from being our best versions when ideally we should be the people that we were born to be, which is, these amazing creatures that just have unlimited potential. And so that's where I ultimately end my book, is with the universe.
I love that. And I love the way you mentioned a positive force, because I think a big part of intuition and, manifesting and all these things, and there's so much hype around manifesting, but we're manifesting our life no matter what it looked like, So the intention that you set, right? That positive force that's setting the intention to call in that positivity and disperse that positivity. So, like in an intuitive verse, which we all are in at all times, but just being in knowing and setting that intention, I think is very powerful. And it seems like that's what you've done through this whole process for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the end of the day, and that's my choice, to be that positive force to be reckoned with. Because I'm an example, first and foremost. When I say that I have reached the ultimate holy grail in life of having children, when I think about being a leader, I was a leader far before I even went into the corporate environment. Having my first child, I was a leader, and in that aspect. And so I have to make sure that I am setting the example for them on how life is going to be unfair at times, and how people can be not the best versions of themselves to you. But it's really how you can control what you can't control, and that's ourselves. And having ourselves to be able to process these feelings, emotions, these thoughts, get them through, and being able to find places like Sedona or Cottonwood or Oceanside or North Carolina in order to ground ourselves again, to put us back into that mindset that, hey, this is just all relative. There are other people that are out there that are feeling this same way. And I want to be able to surround myself with people that bring that same type of positive energy and give to those people who may think that they are alone that positive energy to keep moving forward and to be, again, just the best versions of themselves.
I love that. I have a couple of questions for you. Wow, time has went by so fast. I'm looking at the time like, wow, our time is almost up. The first question is, what does intuition mean to you, and how do you use it in your day-to-day life? And for anybody who's at a point in their life where they're noticing that there's more to their self, there's more to their intuition, there's more to their soul's connection and just aligning with that higher version and higher frequency of their self. How would you explain it for you, and what is any tips or tricks that you would have for anyone?
Yeah. So intuition for me is wisdom. That's basically is your wisdom and the feelings that you get when you're in the presence of something right or wrong. And intuition is at times can hold us back from wanting to move forward because not only is intuition there, but also fear sets in and it can blind what intuition really can be, the potential of your true self. The higher frequencies in which we experience can also be somewhat scary because it forces us to be a different version of ourselves that we may not always connect with. But that intuition will kick in, that wisdom, that knowledge, everything being inside of you will start to operate at a higher frequency. And once you tap into those elements that are just right, that higher frequency is going to become serendipity, where everything that you thought was more, negative things that were happening in your life, if you just happen to reverse that and move forward and move with that intuition and seek out those positive higher frequencies, your life is going to change in such a dramatic manner. You're just going to feel like, how did I miss this for so long? What was happening in my life that I wasn't operating on this level already? And that's the level that I am. I feel like I'm in the serendipic state of and euphoric. Like it's just it's crazy and hard
My
to
life has been
explain.
this delicious the whole time. What?
Yes. And I can feel the energy right now that's just around me. And if there was the colors of the auras that could be around me right now, it would be that turquoise and blues and greens of and the gates of heaven would be opening up and a choir would be singing ah right now, because that's just the energy that I'm on. And it was because of that I learned from my intuition of being able to harness people around me that loved me for who I am, not for who I was, not for who they wanted me to be, but for the true person that I was, my authentic self. Surrounding myself with those people really brought my tuition to the next level, intuition to the next level. And within the past year, I have cultivated my spirituality and becoming closer to God and, my savior, Jesus Christ. And that may not be everyone's cup of tea, and everyone does have their cup of tea, depending on what culture that you're in. But for me, it's God and Jesus Christ. And I have just been on this journey of serendipity, following that higher vibration, and it has brought me to where I am right now, where I'm able to positively impact people worldwide and to be able to spend my time with my boys in such quality time and not reactive time. And intuition comes in all kinds of variances, and sometimes it works to your advantage, but more or less, when it doesn't work to our advantage, that's where that fierce kicks in, and we don't want to move forward thinking that, oh, there's just, something else is going to happen negatively. But if we just harness again the people and the energies and the vibrations that are around us that bring us that power of positivity, you're going to be in a euphoric state of just this energy that you cannot explain, but you definitely want to share out into the world. And if I could explain that energy, it's the ocean right now, just how powerful it is.
The ocean is like my sacred space. I mean, from the moment, and so much of what you said just now has ocean elements to it. If you ever just sit on the beach or near a beach and look out at the people in the water, their aura is like wide open and you can literally see things flying out of their aura. It's just one of the most amazing, beautiful things to see. I remember one time Caleb and I were on vacation, and I was like telling him, okay, I was like, just find one person and just continue to look at them. I say, not just like stare at them, but just look at around, like no matter where they go, just follow them. And then eventually you will start to see like this everybody see auras different, so I don't want to give them too much information.
Yeah.
Like you'll see like this something come around them, and then you'll be able to just see. I was like, just tell me what you see. Just keep your eye focused and tell me what you see. It was like a really cool thing, but I think it's really beautiful how the ocean has this way of just cleansing and clearing you that
Right.
is like undeniable. People go to the beach when they're going through things, whether they realize, and I think that's the beautiful thing about intuition. We have it, whether we understand it or not. And, it's just like those, and like you said, it could be a scary thing if you don't understand it. And the more you learn to develop and understand your intuition, I feel like it's just like a baby. We all have the ability to walk, we just have to learn how, right?
Right.
We all have the
Yeah.
ability to talk, and they're talking in their own little language, and then they start to be able to formulate words of whatever native language that's spoken for that child. And it's the same with your intuition. It's always there, it's always leading, it's always guiding. It's just the more you understand it, the more you're able to utilize it. I know I bought a car once, and this is the vision that's being showed to me in a way that I was explaining. I bought a car, and I'm point A, point B. That's a car for me. And I
Right.
mean, this was a really nice car. It had all these widgets and gadgets. And I had the car for like a year and a half. And my brother got in the car and he was like doing all of these things that the car did. He's like, oh, this car is really cool. And I'm like, I've had this car a year and a half, and I haven't used any of these features. And it just brings me to intuition and how it's so much at our reach. Is just, do we reach and use it and grab it,
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great metaphor, to put it against with the car and its fullest potential, and surprising you when you didn't even know that that was something that you needed, right? And that's what happens, the same thing with intuition. You didn't know that it was there until you actually started harnessing it, and to be able to apply it in the manner of which its truest potential is there for you to impact people all the time. And so when I'm having conversations with people and they're just, so inside themselves and, don't have that confidence or that security, to be the best versions of themselves, the one thing that I do ask is there, if there is a story that you could tell, what would it be? And people get stuck on that, what is it that you want? Or, what story do you have to tell? And people kind of just get stuck on that, thinking that they don't have a story to tell, or thinking that they don't have, what it takes to move on to the next level, because they see, somebody like you or me who has cultivated, that intuition, and they see it glow, and they can sometimes see that as being intimidating, not in a bad way, but just that they themselves could not, harness that within them. And they absolutely can. It just takes different people and or experiences to be able to harness that inside. And so everybody has a story to tell. Everybody's going through something. Everyone's been through something. And share it out and let the rest of us feel, your intuition and what that looked like, so that we know, how we can better that circumstance, or if we do run into that circumstance, or even if we know somebody who's in that circumstance, to kind of just guide them through it. Because the best path in life is through our own experiences, and to be able to relate to each other through that intuition.
I love that. And then the last and final question is, think of one thing that was told to you that really shifted and changed your life in a beautiful way that you heard that you would want to share with the audience, like that thing that was like, oh, and it kind of shifted you in a beautiful way.
Yeah. The one thing that I have read and that I fought for a very long time was God loves you. God loves you in the imperfect manner in which you are. And for a lot of my life, I thought that because that I wasn't walking in the path of righteousness, and that I had made some decisions in my life that didn't make me qualifiable of that love. I was actually living in the opposite of what God's love truly is, which is in imperfection. And being able to, He created us all, and this world right now is His perfection, and He understands that there are things inside of it that agree and disagree, and bad things happen and good things happen, but it's following that path of love. And for some reason, I just didn't think that I was worthy of it. I don't know why, and maybe it was because of the decisions and the things that, I could have done differently in my life. But that's not what we're here for. Not all of us are here to, just be perfect. And I think that if we try to put ourselves into that path, our intuition will kick in, and lead us on a different, aspects. But it was through all those indifferences and all of the decisions that I did make in order for me to bring me here to this day, to know that God truly does love me. And it took for me to finally surrender everything that I had known, let go of all of the negativity and those emotions and the things that I was suppressing, and just put it out there into the universe and harness it back in with positivity. So that was the one thing that I read and that I continue to tell people, even those who have crossed my path in a negative aspect, that's the one thing that I will leave them with is, God loves you, and so do I.
I love that. God loves you, and so do I. Yeah. And it's simple but powerful, It's very beautiful. One of the things that made a huge difference to me is I saw the words, "I am enough." And at that time, I didn't feel like I was enough, And I'm like, I'll be enough when fill in the blank, right? Because it's always something that you need to be enough if you're in that mindset. And then what came to me in that moment was, you're always enough right here, right now. And then you just become a different version of yourself. But you're always enough because you always have everything that you need to be exactly what you want to be. So it's like we're always searching outer. And speaking of God, it's always that going within, right? In that deeper connection with your soul, that deeper connection with God, your higher power, source, creator, whatever sacred name you give that being. But it's like when you are able to just know that there is a greater power that's greater than you, in that we're all divinely connected and guided by that, then you have to know that you are enough. And so that's a beautiful thing to just think of. And when you were saying that, that's kind of it brought me back to that moment that I had.
Yeah, absolutely. And for some reason, we diminish the things that we've done in our life, and we continue to think that we're just not enough in one situation or another. But when you look back at everything that you've done and everything that you are and all the people that you've surrounded yourself with, it almost becomes kind of humbling and funny to think that how could I have ever thought that I wasn't enough when I have all of these things that I had already done and put in place that I am enough? Reality is
Absolutely.
created through validation, and I'm so happy that you were able to find something to resonate with and to be able to have those deciding factors to say, yep, I am enough. And the same thing for me. I know God loves me, and I know that the more that I can spread that power of positivity amongst other people, to know that regardless of what has happened in your life, you're still here and you still have another moment to be a power of positive force to be reckoned with, for everyone that's around you.
Thank you for that. Any final words that you want to share and just telling the people where they can find you?
Final words. You are enough, first and foremost. And you have every opportunity to change. Even if you can't change the people around you, you can change the people around you. Harness all the good energy that this world has to offer and be the best version of yourself. And don't take everything, to heart and personal, because it really, at the end of the day, is not the people that matter, that you go home to, that fill your energy and want your best version of yourselves, are the people that you open the door to. And they are the ones who are deserving of who you are enough for, because you grew them around you. You help them in some kind of way. So keep going on that and let go of anything else that no longer serves your overall purpose. You can find me on Amazon for my book, Girl, If You Were a Man, and it's authored by me, Felicia Renee. You can also go to my website at barrierstobrilliance.com. You can find the book there. You can learn a little bit more about me and the coaching and mentorship program that I have. And yes, and then I will be putting on seminars in Arizona, so that's to come, and just another serendipitous thing that's happening in my life for me to be able to bring what's in my book and put that out on stage and impact people on more of a personal level. So I appreciate, and I just realized that I was saying Caliph's name wrong, because I was pronouncing it as Khalif. And until that you said it Caliph, and I was like, oh shoot, I was saying that all wrong. So my apologies, forgive me, first and foremost for that.
Words.
But I just want to say how grateful and thankful I am of how the universe continues to put people like you and Caliph in my life to be able to share each other's energies and experiences. And I wholeheartedly look forward to our developing relationship, that it will continue beyond the podcast and, the rest of our lives.
Thank you. That was so beautiful. I look forward to spending more time with you and meeting your fiance. And
Yay.
thank you so much for your time. It has truly been a pleasure. And we will have all of your information linked under the video as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you,
And
Janine.